B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, January 3rd, 2019. Our first show of 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk for the latest in the world of gaming and esports. We should, because we've had about 2 weeks off. Plus, over the next 8 episodes, we'll feature interviews from our first national show of 2019, Checkpoint XP's Educational Special. But we start today by playing some catch-up. We've been off the past couple of weeks celebrating the holidays, so I wanted to start off the show by talking about our holiday breaks. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving that payload.
Norris Howard.
You ever stop talking?
Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
And over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Sarah Skopic.
Hey there.
So, this was a really nice ability to relax.
It's worth noting that in years past over the holiday break, we've usually taken, last year we just took the one episode off.
That's right.
We still had to put it together and everything. This was an actual kind of break.
Yeah, you guys got a little bit of a break. I still had to put the national show together.
Sure.
But the thing is that we were able to feature conversations on the national show that we've been having here on the daily show. So we were able to repurpose a lot of content.
Yes.
And I think that's a really good way to do that moving forward. If we can keep doing that,
I think that would be
really smart.
I was saying we need to start restocking our supply of evergreen segments.
Yeah.
And then if we, say, are out at a major event, we can, for that week, play that and then grab a whole bunch of interviews and special on-the-scene stuff for the following week.
And that way we don't have to have sort of that wicked turnaround that Nate usually has with the editing.
The Tuesday, Wednesday turnaround.
Yeah.
Well, not just that. Just it's like, you know, we're out. If we're at E3 and stuff like that, it kind of sucks that we could, you know, go out and have fun and enjoy stuff. And Nate's like, I got it.
Yeah, Wednesday night, Nate's stuck in while we're all, well, to be frank, I usually just go to bed anyway. But you guys go out and party.
Yeah, we do. Okay, in defense of E3, which can carry a show, not all events like that can carry an entire show, though.
I want to know what was going on with you guys over the holiday break. We got, I'm hoping at least that you got to plug in some time on some video games. Speaking for myself, I played a lot of Fallout 76.
Yes.
Not just Fallout 76, but I've been so inspired by Fallout 76 and I've enjoyed it so much, which
can't tell, Nate. There's merchandise all over the room.
Yeah.
You got on paraphernalia, the tattoos coming next. I see the drafts on the desk.
You were wearing a bandana the other day.
You wore a bandana.
It's got dog meat on it. It's awesome.
It doesn't matter. You looked like a dad getting ready to mow his lawn.
I'm okay with that look. Anyway, so I've also been playing Fallout 3.
Nice.
Because I remember, see, I've had this weird Mandela effect going on for like the past 4 years where I think I watched my roommate play a good like 3/4 of that game, but I thought I had played a good 3/4 of that game. My save file tells me something completely different. So I'm going back and I'm actually playing it in earnest. And I've been doing it through hashtag my Steam link.
That's awesome. I like 3 way more than 4, actually.
Really?
I think it's because I like DC more than Boston.
The setting.
That's fair. I find the DC wasteland to be a little bit scant.
Well, yeah, it's a gen back.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, like, because I'm putting it in comparison with actually Oblivion, right? Because they were contemporaries.
They were.
And even Oblivion, I feel like, had more stuff placed around the map.
And Oblivion felt scant.
But Oblivion's also significantly smaller, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, it's a fun game, though. I have been enjoying it. And I've been trying to, you know, figure out what, you know, some of these Fallout purists are having such a problem with 76. I'm trying to go back and trying to figure figuring out,
understand
like, okay, well, what is it about the other games that was so special?
You're gazing into the abyss here, man.
That you can't seem to let go of. Robbie, what about you? What were you doing?
First of all, I really enjoyed the first real sort of break I've had since 2005 when we used to get a break from school. I've worked every single holiday since then. So that was real nice. And I barely left my house. Whether it was playing through the Let's Go games with my girlfriend, playing Fallout 76 with you, or instead of, you know, playing through any new games, I decided, hey, I'm going to also go back and play some old games and started a playthrough of the Mass Effect trilogy.
And you've actually, you've been doing that on our stream over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. And actually, I noticed that you had quite a few people watching the other night, which is surprising for a game that's like, what, 10 years old?
Exactly. Still in Mass Effect 1. I didn't think maybe by 2 and maybe 3. But yeah, I mean, I've had upwards of 30, almost 40 people.
That series is magical.
It is. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of conversations like people come in and want to talk about Andromeda and blah, 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 and all types of stuff. But even going back through it now and even making what I thought was the same choices that I always have, I feel like I'm seeing scenes that I don't remember ever seeing before. Maybe it's just, it's been that long that I've forgotten.
Or maybe it's like seeing them in a new context
maybe
or something.
Maybe that could be it too. But yeah, I mean, I'm having a lot of fun and people in the chat, you know, are really engaging with it. So yeah, it's awesome. It's really fun.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening right now in our Twitch chat, watching live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. It's really nice to be back live on stream. So make sure you, you pop us a follow over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Norris, I feel like we didn't hear from you hardly at all in the group chat over the weekend.
What was going on with you? Yeah, I had a very bittersweet holiday weekend. Unfortunately, my girlfriend's her dad passed away.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. The day after Christmas.
So fun. You know, we were dealing with that, and I was helping her with that. So that pretty much is why I was so MIA.
Yeah, totally.
Through everything.
That's understandable.
But you know, once things started calming down from after that, I too found myself playing mostly older games.
I noticed you were playing a lot of Roller Coaster Tycoon on my Steam friends list.
It was like $2.50 on the winter sale.
Nice. I didn't take you for the Tycoon and type.
Oh, dude. First of all, I love City Builders.
City Skylines.
I love City Builders. Yeah, so, like, that was my relaxed game when, you know, I had the time to whatever. Popped it on, and I forgot how much I love that game.
It's a fun game.
It's so fun.
It's really
so
fun to kill your patrons, right? Like, to find...
Not like, dude, here's the thing. Like, I'm going back. I did that once. My first game, man, I was like, let me just make a deadly series of rides. But I sat back, and I was like, wow, I'm actually having a lot of fun just playing the game normally.
Trying to win.
So I spent a lot of time doing that.
Right on. Well, Joe, Sarah, what about you guys? You know, I feel like, you know, being a couple, I can kind of ask both of
you. Yeah, that's fair.
what was going on with you guys?
So I actually also had a health emergency. My dad had a bit of a health scare, so I went down and spent Christmas with him and my mom down in Florida. It was a nice 5-day escape from the cold up here, so that was nice. When we got back, we started cranking through the end of Super Smash Brothers Ultimate story mode.
Nice.
We did get the end. We got the good ending.
You're welcome.
By the way, there's multiple endings.
Which I found out.
Smash Bros. Ultimate has 3 endings.
To Spirit Mode?
Yes.
Yes.
So we got the good ending.
Mode, yeah.
It's confusing.
Which I luckily researched because as one time you left it at my house, and so I was playing through it and then realized something is off here.
Yeah.
And so I looked it up and realized, uh-oh, something is off. We better do this right or else...
Yeah, you can screw it up and not get the good ending.
Yeah.
So
what happens if you don't get the good ending?
You get the bad ending.
Well, you get the bad ending.
So what is it, bad and bad ending?
You don't get access to New Game Plus.
That's true. You don't get the New Game Plus mode. And you
I don't want a New Game Plus.
Well, then you can do any ending. You'll be fine.
Awesome.
In addition, my brother bought me Persona 5
for Christmas. Nice. Do it now.
Yes. So as soon as we get moved into our new house, we're going to be doing that. And on that note, we are closing on our new house tomorrow.
Yes. Congratulations. So yes, Joe will not be here for Checkpoint XP Daily tomorrow. But congratulations. That's a huge life decision. And that's all. Awesome for the both of you.
I expect those eggs.
Yeah. Thrilled for you guys.
I have a question for you, Joe. Because Persona 5 is absolutely fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to it.
You should stream it.
That is what I'm planning on christening our new studio with.
All of it. Well, don't just stream some of it and then play it when nobody can watch. You experience that with people.
Well, what about your computer? Because I think the last time that we were here for the show, your computer was kaput.
Yeah.
What's the current status?
Well, fortunately, I have the game for PS4. As for my computer, it has... So I swapped out the video card. And once I had a new video card in, I was able to blank the hard drives and kind of start from scratch, and it worked fine. So I'm like, cool, video card was the problem. But then it started gnawing at me. I'm like, well, I wasn't able to blank the hard drives with the old video card in. So now that I've done that, I swapped the old video card back in to see if it would work, just on a whim. It does.
Ooh.
I have not had any more problems.
Interesting.
So the computer is functional. It is useful for streaming. I streamed yesterday. We played some of our interviews yesterday. That was all done on that PC. It ran fine. So fingers crossed. It seems like we're in good shape there. But yeah, we're going to be christening our new studio in the new house with a Persona 5 playthrough. I think is what we're going to use for that. So yeah, we're pretty excited. You know what? None of us did over the holiday break. Let's watch any esports.
No.
There's been nothing to watch.
No, you know what I found
Contenders.
Myself?
I watched a little bit of Contenders.
I was so desperate to watch anything that I watched like 50 minutes of a Pokken tournament the other day.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
Dude, I'm jonesing.
I know. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you do over the holiday break? What games did you play? What sweet gaming gifts did you receive? How ready are you for esports to come back? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. And Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out one of the 8 interviews we featured on our educational special. Today, we're featuring the conversation with founder of Play Versus, the system that will deliver esports to high schools across the nation, Delaine Parnell. But ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Japan Evo is coming up, but there is one game that is noticeably missing.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you visit our website at CheckpointXP.com to subscribe to our growing offering of podcasts. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP to join the show live, or connect with us on social media at CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out one of the interviews featured on our first national show of 2019, Checkpoint XP's Educational Special. Our conversation with Delaine Parnell will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
In a shock move, the most popular fighting game of 2018, Dragon Ball FighterZ, will not appear at EVO Japan. At first, fans speculated that it was the anime house Toei was blocking the game from competition, but in a tweet the day after Christmas, they said they have no knowledge of blocking any use of the game for tournament play. Currently, no one has the official answer as to why the game is blocked.
What is going on here?
Here's the thing.
This is insane.
Nobody really knows, but right now, everybody's...
Shueisha,
everybody's pointing the finger at them. That's the parent company that makes Shonen Jump.
Right.
Everybody's sort of pointing the finger at them because they're the only ones left with the license. Because
Toei actively said it wasn't us.
So wait. And Bamco is, they made the game.
At any point, did EVO Japan say that Dragon Ball FighterZ was going to be on the card?
It was assumed. It was not officially announced. It was assumed. But this is how everyone found out it was not going to be at the tournament.
Could this just have been a decision by Evo Japan's organizers to not include it? They would be idiots.
Doesn't Bandai Namco help organize that tournament?
Yes, they do. I'm totally with you, Norris. I'm just saying, it just seems like... This is really weird. Something about this doesn't make sense.
Which is why everyone has the feeling that it's being blocked, because it makes no sense for Evo Japan to not have it included in that tournament, especially considering Sonic Fox is the only non-Japanese that's any good at it from that level anyway.
I mean, the fact that Toei even came out and said, like, listen, this wasn't us, like...
Shueisha's the only one who makes any real sense. But why though? That's a great question.
The only way I can think of it is maybe they got some bones that they feel like they haven't gotten the kickback of.
Maybe they haven't gotten that bread.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
One of the gambling centers of the U.S. has devoted over $500,000 to promoting esports. Atlantic City officials say that they are using the funds to hold events between the Atlantic City Convention Center and the Jim Welland Boardwalk Hall. The first event comes in May with an FGC tournament and will, as with all esports in Atlantic City, be legal for sports betting.
Okay. I'm actually ridiculously excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's two places that you think of for gambling in the USA. It's Las Vegas
and Atlantic
City. Those are the two places synonymous with gambling. And for them to take a forward-thinking approach to esports, I mean, clearly it's working for Las Vegas. I mean, if anything, they're kind of late to the party.
Well, I still, for all of the progress that I've seen esports make inside of gambling, I still have yet to see an esports book. Right?
That's true, yeah.
That's the one thing I want to see, because I actually want to go into a place that's running a bunch of different tournaments and be able to place a bet on one.
Last time we were out in Vegas, I went to all the sports books to see if they had an esports listing, and
nothing. Exactly. That's the one thing that's like the one threshold that needs to be crossed, and maybe Atlantic City is going to be able to get that done.
The one thing I will say is that $700K seems pretty paltry compared to the rest of the investment that's going around.
They've got growing to do, but this is only the first year.
I mean, you figure $700K, that could be five tournaments with a $100,000 prize pool.
That's not terrible.
With 2018 finally over, the Esports Observer dropped a list of the highest earning esports organizations of the year. And as expected, OG Gaming, winners of the Dota 2's The International, topped the list. Other organizations include Team Liquid at number 2 with over $7 million and Cloud9 in the number 8 spot with a little over $3 million.
What did OG Gaming win that many other notable tournaments?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Is just winning the international enough to get you like the top earner spot?
Yes, it is.
That's insane.
Team Liquid won $7 million at number 2. I mean, you won over $10 million for winning the international, so yes. Yeah. OG, winning that is enough.
That's insane.
I'm surprised that Cloud9, as successful as a year as they had, ended up so low on that list.
They didn't finish high enough in the international.
That's the problem, what events did they win? They won in Overwatch, which doesn't have a huge prize pool yet.
Rocket League.
They won in Rocket League, which doesn't have a huge prize pool yet. And they did pretty well in CSGO, which has a better prize pool, just not enough to push them over.
Yeah. I guess that's fair.
That's a good point.
Determined to make our drama pool even easier to manage, the Overwatch League unveiled its player discipline tracker over the holiday break. The tracker displays the date of a judgment, the player, their team, and what the infraction was and the action taken. So far, the worst suspension is Rippa of the LA Gladiators for throwing, and Rise from GZ Charge fined $1,000 for account sharing.
I feel like Blizzard
this
heard,
is for us, right?
heard
this is
our, for our, our drama pool and went... Oh yeah, we can.
Okay, no, no
we
no.
can legitimize that.
The question I have for you guys who have a little bit more basis in traditional sports, like is this a weird
no.
thing to have?
No, this is weird. No, this is weird.
Okay, it is.
This is weird.
No. Okay, let me put it this way: the concept of releasing information about people's suspensions and fines and stuff, that's not weird.
Right.
Having a tracker for it.
That's weird.
It's like very
going,
weird.
Going to the NFL, going to NFL.com and seeing the suspension tracker, that would be weird.
Well, it would be 95 players long.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if this was just a mass email that they sent out, they would send it to us and, like, GameSpot
the wire, like .esports.
That's it.
Team Liquid has struck a partnership with the Professional Fighters League, a mixed martial arts competition that sees fighters compete in in a regular season and playoff structure. The partnership will see some Team Liquid personalities performing ringside during fights. There's a good bit of overlap between the demographics that esports and mixed martial arts reach, so it'll be interesting to see how the partnership develops.
Okay.
What?
When they say Team Liquid personalities performing...
They're not fighting, no.
This is stupid.
What, are they going to play like League of Legends while guys are up here? Like,
I assume that means they'll commentate.
This is a whole new level of stupid, even for me.
Right? Like, you'd bring them on as like personalities, right?
Why?
Okay, here's what
they
I think.
They have games to play.
No, here's what I think of MMA or boxing or anything like that. I think of people fighting, and then I think of the ladies that they put in the ring with the cards. Very misogynistic.
Well, right.
But the whole point is that what will they be doing?
So this week is MAGFest, and a story like this just makes me think that there's going to be a dude down front in front of the ring.
Streaming.
Who's got like a TV in front of him, and he's playing Mega Man like the early days of MAGFest,
you know,
right?
It never occurred to me that that's what this might be, but yeah, I guess it could be.
But right, see, like this that, is... No,
is that weird? That's weird,
that's
right?
That's weird. But what this is somebody who went to a board meeting and threw out brand activation 8 times in a meeting, and this is what they came up
but
with.
But I mean, like, does this not just seem very tacked on? I mean, I get that there is an overlap, but like... I don't know that this is necessarily... Like, I feel like there's much more overlap with, like, professional wrestling and esports.
Yeah. But at the same time, mixed martial arts is growing and hitting a younger demographic, kind of like esports is. They are similar in demographic targets.
True. I just don't know that like...
Whether it'll work, I know.
Right? Like,
nobody can answer the question of what are they going to be doing.
Listen, you don't know it's going to work until you try it. So, I mean, I guess let's give them the room to try and fail.
But 2018 behind us, we can now take a look at the year in review, and it was an amazing one for Epic Games. On the back of Fortnite, they reportedly posted over $3 billion in profit. While the company has many sources of revenue through the Unreal Engine, Fortnite was far and away the biggest breadwinner of 2018. Despite being free-to-play, the game has once again shown that microtransactions are far and away the most profitable model for gaming.
Oh, hold up. $3 billion with a B dollars on one game.
Yeah. Ballin'. Yeah. That's
in profit. That's not $3 billion revenue. That's $3 billion profit.
Yeah.
We just need money.
So, while the entire gaming intellectual community may be decrying microtransactions and loot boxes and these predatory, like, I also understand how people like Alberto Ribeiro are smelling money in the air.
Absolutely.
Dude, but not even just that. There's nothing inherently on its face value wrong with microtransactions.
No.
They've been in gaming for longer than people give it credit for, especially in MMOs. So in MOBAs. So this model has been tried and true and proven for nigh on a decade now.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
You want to know what the
it
real
never
microtransaction
was going
was?
To go anywhere.
The real microtransaction was quarter playtime. Quarter playtime.
That was the original version of that. But I mean, like, I have a story from Christmas Day, right?
Stop talking.
I'm watching my little cousins open presents, and one of them gets a check from his grandma.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh no!
The first question out of his mouth, he goes, "Dad, can I turn this into V-Bucks?" Like first. Question.
That's it, though. That's it. You
it's
got it.
It's pretty depressing.
It is. It's super depressing.
But yeah, you know what that sounds like? A drug addict.
Well, you know what the problem is our generation had to be exposed to microtransactions. Like, we came from another time and had to, like, slowly come around to it. The new generation, that's just par for the course. They will just accept it as normal.
I'm sorry. No. My parents would have beat the ever-loving crap out of me if I had gone to them and said, "Hey, can I take this $10 from grandma and turn it into digital nothingness?"
I know.
Like, they would have sat me down and explained that has no actual monetary value, and this is not what you should be spending your money on, nor should this be something that your evaluate.
But you got to count. No,
but I
you
learned
gotta,
that on my own.
But you got to count all the parents who see that their kids just run and go play Fortnite and leave them the hell alone.
My point is just that that barrier for microtransactions for you doesn't exist for the next generation. This model is going to become more profitable as time goes on.
I agree.
That's true.
Bandai Namco is looking to right the ship during a messy period for their esports scene. They've appointed Tekken producer Katsuhiro Harada to head the company's new esports strategy team. With the massive success of Tekken 7 and Dragon Ball FighterZ, it's no surprise the company is making a move to capitalize on its growing esports scene. Harada has confirmed Bandai Namco will take a more active role in funding and supporting the competitive scene for their games.
That's the right man for the job.
That's great. Well, for those that may be a little less familiar with his pedigree, what has
Harada's
he done?
So Harada's the producer for Tekken, and he basically, revived it. He took it and put it on the plateau that it is today. And he's been with, Namco for a long time now. And he's the right man for the job simply because he knows his audience and he knows the mob, to, borrow something from Gladiator. And he knows how to tap into that energy. Part of, the character reveals and Evo turning into, E3 for fighting games. That's part of what comes out of Harada's sort of ideas. And I think by putting him in charge of esports, it sort of lets the FGC know that, hey, we're thinking about you. We recognize the issues you guys have with prize pools, game availability, tournament availability. And I think that this is the right man for the job.
Well, I'm going to be really interested to see what happens moving forward.
Over the course of last year, we've been following the game situation in China. New games haven't been released in the country since March of last year. Now it seems that window is reopened, but with a major player missing from the equation. Of the 80 titles approved this week for release, not a single one of them was a Tencent property.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, good to know that that market is again reopening and starting to approve games to flow in, but yeah, weird that of the first 80 titles, not a single Tencent property in there.
I don't know. This seems like a little bit of internal politicking that's going on.
100%. And part of what I think this is Tencent has its hands in so many Western companies now. And I think that may be rubbing the Chinese government in the wrong way.
That may be a great point because, it seemed like they were the darlings of the Chinese economy for the better part of like 5 years. Now it's like the heat's on them for some reason. And I mean, granted, I don't have a very good handle on geopolitical events surrounding China. But I'm going to be really interested to see how this plays out as it continues forward, because as you pointed out, Tencent has been able to broker so many deals with Western games and Western IPs that getting those to the country are going to be really, that's going to be really critical for some of those game developers.
Genesis 6 has revealed their rule set for Smash Ultimate for their upcoming tournament on February 1st. The event in Oakland, California will be the first major fighting tournament to include Smash Ultimate, and their rule set may set the standard for Smash tournaments. 3 stock, no hazards, no items isn't surprising to anyone. However, the allowing of Mii fighters to have any moveset is definitely raising some eyebrows.
And on that note, if you do use a Mii fighter, they've also confirmed you have to have created it beforehand. You can't
see the
make
field
it
and then create
right because set. Yeah, people like don't want, and they don't want like big delays during creation of Mii fighters. Also, they've said which stages are going to be allowed, so we've got the stages and which ones are going to be allowed as counter picks. So there's, I think, 5 stages that are allowed in the first match, and then 5 more that kind of have like different terrain things to them that you can pick as like the second map if you lose.
I'm excited for this tournament, man.
I can't wait to watch this.
Competitive Smash Ultimate event. I'm into it.
Is this the first not official, but like first really
first
big
organized.
Genesis 6. I mean, Genesis is a major fighting game tournament. It's the first one that I would call a big fighting game tournament.
Well, that's going to be real exciting then.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Comedian, actor, and musician Jack Black has waded into the waters of YouTube. He started a new channel called Jablinski Games, which will focus on life, food, and gaming. The channel has already over 2.5 million subscribers. So Jack Black has figured out what the podcasting world has known for the better part of 5 years, that if you make a channel with someone famous, that's the instant way to get like 1.5 million people out of the gate.
He does a video every Friday. His first video video was his kind of like 30-second teaser of what the channel is going to be and all that.
He's doing this in conjunction with his son, too, yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah. That's really cool.
His second video was his 1 million subscriber milestone video.
Oh, my God.
And those are the only two videos on his channel.
Look, say what you will about Jack Black. I mean, as far as his movies go, they're not anything to write home about. But
I like Jumanji.
I was going to
say. I like, High Fidelity. I love that movie.
There you go.
He does have a certain, you know, sort of area he aims for, right?
He's hit or miss.
Exactly. But for me, like, just as a person, like, I've always liked Jack Black. And, I mean, don't take him too seriously.
You listen to Tenacious D and you go, like, yeah, that dude has played Dungeons and Dragons, like, a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing,
you know, like, I mean, and I don't know. It's hard not to like him. Like,
when
I soured on him a little bit after King Kong and School of Rock. Those were not really my movies, but, like, he's still legitimately a very funny dude.
And like I say, he was great in Jumanji. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Tropic Thunder.
It's not... Yeah, Tropic Thunder.
I forgot about Tropic Thunder! Yes. Oh, my God.
And it's not even like he's super new to the gaming scene. I mean, Brutal Legend.
That's right! Brutal Legend.
Again, Jumanji was video game themed. He also did a video playthrough of Five Nights at Freddy's with Markiplier for, like, a charity.
Oh, that's cool.
I actually remember that as well.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, it's not like he's completely, you know, alien to the gaming scene.
It doesn't seem like a celebrity who's just trying to come in to, like, milk it because it's the new hot thing.
I agree.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And, you know, I think I'm going to be really interested to see how he decides to grow the channel.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a celebrity stepping into the world of, like, DIY YouTubing and sort of, like, video game playing and stuff like that. Like, I think it's weird that it's a focus on life, food, and gaming. Those are three... I mean, like...
Hey, those are all things that
food?
I like.
Like, life and food... Okay, those are pretty broad. Bruh, but gaming is very specific.
What Andy Milonakis is doing on Twitch right now.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
I saw him fall down some stairs in Greece on stream. Like, it was great. Like, that's the thing, man. Streaming and stuff like this is becoming a perfectly viable post-career for a lot of these celebrities. Will Smith has a YouTube channel that a bajillion people follow to watch him bungee jump out of a plane for no apparent reason.
And embarrass his son.
I guess that's, like, the two-way, because, like, Andy Milonakis and Tom Green were on TV at about the same time. Now Andy Milonakis is doing Twitch, Tom Green's doing Vegas. Like, that's the one. I feel like those are the two options, right?
You can go perform on stage or you can go perform on Twitch.
And both of them seem to be doing fairly well for themselves. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, we'll check out our interview with founder of PlayVersus, the system that will deliver esports to high schools across the country, Delaine Parnell. Stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up over the next 8 episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check out interviews featured on our first national show of 2019, Checkpoint XP's educational special. So let's check out a conversation we had with the founder of PlayVersus, the system that will deliver esports to high schools across the country. Delaine Parnell joins us by phone. Delaine, welcome to Checkpoint.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. So as the college scene kind of continues to slowly piece itself together for competitive esports, you've helped the high school scene take a massive step forward. Can you talk us through the journey that you've had so far to get where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, our company, Playversus, is based in Los Angeles, and I started the company last year with this goal of building out the infrastructure around high school esports. Along the way, we partner exclusively with the NFHS, which is the National Federation of State High School Associations. They govern and write the rules for all high school sports activities, and they've done so since 1920. We partner with them to exclusively operate esports as a sanctioned sport within high schools turnkey. We also partner with game publishers like Riot Games, who creates the game League of Legends. It's probably the biggest esport in the world. And we're making, we're introducing those games like League of Legends into high schools so kids can play for state championship as they would or their peers would basketball or football. And we're really excited about it. We're rolling out an early access season in 5 states, Kentucky, Georgia, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. And kids will be able to varsity in esports, and there'll be some state champions holding up that trophy in January. So we're really pumped about that.
Well, I'm actually glad you mentioned that because, yeah, with that first season zero getting underway, I wanted to ask why League of Legends? What brought you to that as opposed to, say, Rocket League or Overwatch? What about League of Legends really worked out for you guys?
Yeah, look, we love what Riot stands for, all of the work that they've done to really pioneer esports as not only a sport but also as an industry. We think it's one of the most mature esport ecosystems. And so being that it's not only, you know, all of those things, but also the biggest esport in the world, it really made sense to go out and do it with a splash. And we're going to add more, obviously, states in our inaugural season, which kicks off in February, but then also more games. And so we'll have, at least 4 games, so including League of Legends and 3 more. But there could even be some additional titles. We're working through it. And so it'll be really exciting times. There'll be more than just League of Legends state champions across many more states coming soon.
You know, there are some high schools that are seeing participation in their esports club that have as much as 40% or more of the student body involved. What is it about esports that draws so many people to participate?
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's so funny. We spend a lot of time talking to people about the engagement that esports have on school campus. It's insane. Like, the numbers are just unreal. In most schools, what we're finding is that, you know, more people want to play esports, even for just one game like League of Legends, than there is across the entire school of kids who play football. And so I think there's a few things here. One is that, like, look, kids just take competitive gaming serious as a form of both sport and entertainment, right? And so this is something that they're passionate about. They get a chance to do with friends, and they want to spend as much time as they can doing it. And now that they can do it in a sort of structured, safe environment through our league, you know, that thrill really excites them. The second is sports aren't scalable. So when you think about it, there's 16 million kids that go to high school every year. In our country, only 8 million actually play in sports. And it's not because they're not interested in sports, but there's some sort of, you know, roster limitations with sports. And the boys and girls team, there's probably a freshman JV varsity team sort of across all of the top sports. There's only so many spots, right, available. And so there's this, you know, 50% of the kids sort of get left out from even being able to participate, not because they're not as good or they're not passionate or they don't enjoy it. It's simply because they just don't have room. And so esports operates more of like a network. And so there could be, you know, one school with, you know, 100 kids each playing, you know, on their own 5-person League of Legends team. And with software, we're able to sort of control the scheduling there and things that you can't necessarily do in traditional stick and ball sports. And so I think there's more opportunity in esports for kids to be engaged. And then on top of them being passionate about it, I think that's probably some of the reasons that we're seeing engagement so high.
You're listening to Checkpoint Radio, Esports and Gaming Radio. We're speaking with founder and CEO of Playversus, Delaine Parnell.
Yeah, so there's value to the spirit of competition, sportsmanship, and all that type of stuff in high school. Can esports teach those same values as traditional sports is used to teach to our teens?
Yeah, absolutely. And so esports already teaches those values. When kids play video games competitively, they're already learning strategic thinking and problem solving and improving upon their communication skills. You know, we talk about in our office a lot, like, what are the reasons, you know, we love sports, right? And the 4 pillars of sports that we sort of boiled those reasons down to was community, teamwork, storylines, and competition. Esports has all of those same elements. And so absolutely the same benefits that kids receive from participating in traditional sports and activities, they get from esports. And there are some also native benefits to participating in esports, right? When you think about most of the kids who play in esports, they also go on in college to major in some sort of STEM field. And so that's very unique to esports. And I think that's also exciting when you think about, you know, where jobs and where professional industries are moving.
So there's a lot of stigmas that get attached to video games by traditional media, whether it be violence in gaming or more recently gaming addiction. Can you speak, though, to the values and the importance of young men and women having access to gaming in a more community setting?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, ultimately, I think there's the media tends to put stigma on all sorts of stuff, whether it be gaming or, you know, other industries. And so, you know, that's just their job. That's what, I guess that's your guys' job too, but in a more positive way. That's just what happens. What we're being able to do with esports in high schools is that, one, we're putting this in some sort of in real life component, which most kids don't have. They now also have oversight from an adult while they're actually gaming, because there's a coach on campus or multiple coaches, depending on the school, who sort of oversee and are just there, right, to be helpful, to provide guidance, to provide support in tough times to these students as they actually game. They have a team that they play on and a position within that team, and so they're able to develop that camaraderie, that sort of affinity for their school, and also develop as a player and be taught into, like, what it means to actually be an esports athlete over the course of the season, which that sort of concept of organized esports, it doesn't exist today, and we're sort of the first company really introducing that outside of the pro scene. So there's a lot of benefits. The experience itself is obviously much different than it is kids sort of sitting at home playing in multiplayer modes online, but like by themselves with no real oversight. That experience is totally different than the experience that we're providing. And so I'm not sure that stigma should be attached to what we're doing.
You're listening to Checkpoint Radio, Esports and Gaming Radio. We're speaking with founder and CEO of PlayVersus, Delaine Parnell.
Now, you mentioned this stigma that comes with video games. And now that we're starting to see these esports come into the high schools, there's going to be a lot of parents out there who are going to be hesitant to let their kids play video games as part of the high school experience. What would you say specifically to parents that have this worry?
Look, well, what we found actually is that parents have been extremely receptive to what we're doing because it's a passion of their kids. Ultimately, parents want their kids to do something fun, safe, and have an experience to sort of validate their passion. And when you think about professional athletes, right, in any other sport, especially, I guess, the sort of premier sports in our country, the basketball, football, even baseball, these athletes are professionals, and they've been able to have some success because of their high school experience. And for some of them, the best time of their life. When you think about esports athletes have become professionals despite high school. They were bullied, they were teased, they were made fun of, they were told that to stop playing video games because it wouldn't get them anywhere. And for them, that was such a horrible experience, as you'd imagine. Today, kids now have an opportunity to actually feel recognized and feel appreciated and feel validated because of their passion, because of their talent, the talent that people have never really been accepting to. And also, they're able to be an athlete, to wear varsity jackets, to compete for a state championship, to get a college scholarship, and to also go pro and earn money that could help them take care of their family or even work within an industry as a professional and be able to sort of live day to day doing something that they're passionate about. And so gaming as an industry has been professionalized. Esports obviously will continue to grow as an industry as well as a sport. And what we found is that parents understand the opportunity attached to it, and they're really excited about that. And frankly, there's some parents who have multiple children, and one of their children plays sports, and then the other one doesn't. Like, they want to be able to see their kid in a jersey, see their kid, you know, meet new friends, have these sort of interactions. And so for them, they're overjoyed about what we're doing.
You know, I want to kind of hang on this point for just a second, because a couple of weeks ago, we had a good friend of ours, Jello from the Jello Show, in with his son to talk about, you know, his son's passion for Fortnite. And his son also plays football. And, you know, something that he said was, you know, I don't know what to encourage. You know, football has a 100-year history of being able to take people to the pros and have a career out of it. And video games, you know, really have only been taken seriously in a professional manner for like maybe the last 5 years or so. How reasonable is it today for a young person to kind of look at gaming as a potential road to, you know, either a career or to college?
Yeah, look, I think it's completely reasonable. Look, football had to start somewhere, and that's exactly where we are. We're in the barely off the starting block, to be honest, of, you know, esports as a sport, as an industry that people will get involved in and people will make impact in. And so we probably have had more growth as an industry than football had in its first 5 years, but there's a lot of opportunity there. And I think as you're recognizing what a bunch of sort of professional, well-respected team owners and other companies sort of getting involved in the industry, what's sort of been taken from that from sort of spectators is that there's some actual hardcore validation and this industry will be sustainable.
Delaine Parnell, founder and CEO of PlayVersus, has been our guest here on Checkpoint. Delaine, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Delaine for his time. If you want to find out more, visit their website at playvs.com. All right, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.